Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so Seth, I was just looking up at the TV screen, and Russell Westbrook was quoted after the game last night, in which James Harden scored 39 points. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. In a lot of ways, Clint Capella was great last night. I think Clint had a big game last night. He seems to be getting his sea legs under him now.
I never doubted you, Clint. Ever. I did. Yeah, that's a lie.
I was about to say. And I wanted you to call yourself out.
I was starting to get nervous about Capella just because it's coming off, okay, now that he's had a full year with that big contract and he was a disappointment in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
Is this – I've never thought of him as a guy that would get complacent,
no.
And yet somehow those fears started seeping in. It looks more like what plagued the entire team, which was D'Antoni was very easy on them to try to keep their legs fresh during the preseason, plus they took the trip to Asia, and I think everybody was just a little, they didn't have their sea legs yet.
They're playing their way into shape. Clint went 20-20 last night, 22 points, 20 rebounds last night. So in some ways, it was like your dream fantasy box score if you own a bunch of Rockets in fantasy basketball. But Russell Westbrook was trying to implore the media to not normalize what James Harden is doing. James Harden was the player of the week again.
Right, where it becomes he's on this ridiculous tear where he's like averaging 40 points a game over the course of 2 weeks.
Yeah, like crazy. Like last year, kind of crazy.
And it's not even 2 weeks. How many games now is the...
Well, they've won 8 in a row.
Yeah, it's just this extreme scoring binge that he's on. I don't know what you do, though, other than, I mean, do you have a parade every time he does it? It's hard not to normalize it.
Yeah, now here's the thing is, I take into account who the quotes are coming from. It's Russell Westbrook, who has not been around this every day.
That's true.
You know, it's new to him.
You know what Russell Westbrook is like? He's like when a new sports radio host comes into town and says, "Huh, I'll tell you what, you guys don't appreciate James Harden.
Yeah.
You need to have been." You're like, settle down, buddy. Listen, yeah. we've been here for a while. We're cool.
I would go as far as to say, Seth, that maybe I'm the culprit. Maybe I'm the person Russell Westbrook is speaking to. In fact, I think I am with what I'm about to say. And I love James Harden. I love watching James Harden. I know there's people around the country that don't like his style of play. Maybe it's because I'm a Rocket fan. I enjoy watching James Harden. I enjoy tracking the stats during the game to see if he goes out and gets 30, 35, 40 again. I more than anything else, I think about what this team is going to be like once James Harden isn't playing anymore. You know, once the post-Harden, I think we're still 5 years away from that. But, you know, anytime you start to think about complaining about James Harden, look around the NBA and see how teams are doing that think they have all-star players and are struggling to win 38 or 40 games. Harden individually, we saw it in Minnesota this weekend. You have James Harden on your team, you're winning 50 games.
Yeah.
I don't care who the other four guys are on the court. There's not many guys in the NBA you can say about that. I know that he needs to win the postseason. I get it. But maybe I'm sort of the person Russell Westbrook is talking to here, because I feel like, yes, there is a bit of a pattern with all this where the first step is James gets off to kind of a slow start. He's sort of trying out new things, you know, whether it's the step back three or the floater or whatever he's added to his game. The next step is he kicks it into gear. He begins perfecting the new stuff. The third step is what we saw last year in spades, which was the 32 straight games where he goes over 30 points. He goes on some tear that all of a sudden begins the MVP debate with Harden every year.
Mm-hmm.
And even his harshest critics come out Thursday after Thursday night games on TNT or on The Jump. Even his harshest critics in February and March say, boy, I got to tell you, even though I'm a James Harden critic, he is doing some things that are unbelievable. And then the postseason rolls around. And then things tighten up. And then you and I were talking before the show, and I thought you made a great point, which is, and I'll let you make the point.
Well,
the point about the way the playoffs are different from the regular season in terms of attacking a guy like James Harden.
That's where it's, because I don't even want to make it like it's a criticism or anything. It's just that what happens in the playoffs is teams start to get a rhythm on you and a beat on you. There's something about, this is why I always get careful talking about this, whenever you start talking about mid-range jumpers, people act like if you have any, if you think that anybody should ever shoot a mid-range jumper, that you're a caveman that doesn't understand math. There's a certain predictability to the way the Rockets play in their complete abandonment of the mid-range jumper, even though I know that's changed a little bit, especially with Chris Paul in these last few years. It'll change with Russell Westbrook. But their style of play that over the course of seven games, good defensive teams start to feel the rhythm of how the Rockets are playing, and it gets easier to defend. You know, the Spurs in various series have been really good at this, where they understand exactly how they can sprint out to close out threes aggressively and then get back in to defend the paint and largely abandon areas of the floor to defend. I think there's something to that. As far as his Harden's ability to draw fouls, he still gets the calls and he still makes free throws, but versus the really good teams, those guys are really adept, especially over the course of seven games, at learning how to defend without fouling as much.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's a difference between regular season basketball and postseason basketball. And I think sometimes people get trapped into talking about, well, in the postseason, it slows down. It's a half court game. It's more than just that. It's also your specific opponent. How do you adjust to playing them? And I think that still remains James Harden's biggest challenge, is overcoming that hump of becoming just a regular season scoring machine into doing it, into figuring out the finer aspects of defeating teams in the playoffs. And I don't want to make it seem like it's insurmountable. The biggest problem has been that the Golden State Warriors existed
yes.
the last several years.
Yeah.
They've played well enough to be a championship team in different eras. It's just they got stuck in the Golden State Warriors era.
Yeah, look, we got to see what the Lakers are, and I'm anxious to see the Rockets play the Lakers. You know, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Dwight Howard's actually playing pretty decent for the Lakers right now. So we got to see what exactly this is in terms of, are the Lakers just a really good team, or are they a team that with the combination of these stars can become maybe not as transcendent as the Warriors? No one's winning 73 games ever again, because mm-hmm. the load management part of the NBA is never going to allow a team to win 73 games again. But are they dominant enough to where you go, boy, this is a juggernaut you can't overcome? Or, man, this would be the fun part if you're a Rocket fan, Seth. Do we finally live in an NBA without the Golden State Warriors where there's enough parity and balance in the upper echelon? You know, not across the league. I think the good teams are still noticeably better than the bad teams. But are we in an NBA where James Harden's game may be good enough to take the Rockets to an NBA finals?
Right, and I think it is, and it has been. It's not. When I bring up those things, those are the challenges the Rockets face in the playoffs. They've overcome those challenges at times. It's just that's why sometimes but it's also why you don't get too carried away with the regular season success, because some of it is just flat out the way the Spurs used to be in the regular season from year to year, where there were some years where they weren't a championship team, but they're still crushing people in the regular season because they were just so refined as a group. James Harden is the equivalent in that you're going to crush a lot of teams in the regular season just because James Harden is so good.
Yeah.
By the way, it's always the fouls in the playoffs. Harden actually has more free throws per 36 minutes in the playoffs.
Hmm.
No, he's actually a little bit less. He's seven. Okay. He's seven per 36 minutes in the playoffs. He's like 7.5 in the regular season.
Yeah, and as much.
But it's not as big a drop off as people want to believe it is.
As much hand wringing as was going on early in the season with the Rockets,
yeah.
Here they sit a half game back of the Lakers for the number one seed in the Western Conference. They're 11-3 now.
Yeah, so that's all. Does anybody genuinely feel, I don't know what, when people implore you to not ignore Harden's scoring streaks, I don't know what they want us to do. Are you supposed to, it's impossible. If I have a really good steak every night, and that becomes my standard dinner every night, I can't come in the next day and be like, Sean! Did you hear about this steak I had last night?
Yeah,
it gets old.
Yeah, and the reason Seth's bringing this up is because we brought up Russell Westbrook imploring people to not normalize what James Harden is doing. Basically, stand up, pay attention to what James Harden is doing. Again, I think there's two things at work with Russell Westbrook when it comes to him kind of taking up for James, I guess.
Yeah.
One is, as I mentioned earlier, the newness of it to Russ. It's new to Russ to be around this James. He's played with James before. They were teammates in Oklahoma City. Not this James. He was opposing James before. Now he watches it every night, so he gets to see it. So it is kind of new to him. I think some of it, too, is sort of a lot of what we saw with Russell Westbrook maybe through the first handful of games when this Rocket team was, frankly, a little bit wonky early in the season, where it felt like Russ was maybe being a little bit, he was trying to over compensate or being over-accommodating as a new teammate. You know? And I think maybe there's some of that baked into it where it's like, I'm new here. It's James's. This may be Russell Westbrook's subtle way of telling people this is James's team.
It's like your first week in an apartment in college where you actually take care of your own dishes every time.
Yeah.
You know, like the first week or two, you're like, oh, yes. I always wash my dishes immediately after I'm done with them.
Yes.
And then, you know, by fast February, forward to a month later.
The dishes will be stacking up in Westbrook's sink by February.
Yeah. I choose to interpret this comment by Russell Westbrook as a shot at Kevin Durant. I choose to think that, hey, buddy, I've been in the NBA a long time, never had a teammate like this.
Ooh, I like that.
Let's read it that way.
Yeah.
Why don't you put a fancy headline on that and put it out into the blogosphere? That'll get a lot of clicks.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Was Russell Westbrook throwing shade at Kevin Durant? Probably.
Yeah. And put probably in the headline as well. Yep. By the way, the Nuggets third in the Western Conference, even with the Rockets in the loss column, that is the Rockets' next opponent. They travel to Denver tomorrow to take on the Denver Nuggets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.